Our scripture reading today is found in James 1. If you'd like to turn with me there, James 1, starting at verse 19. It's found on page 977 of your Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. James 1, starting at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent in and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God. Amen.
Good morning to everyone, and a special greeting to all the mothers, grandmothers, and maybe even great-grandmothers. God bless each one of you. I enjoy learning from good advice. So during the marriage workshop that I held in this church a few months ago, we learned a lot about the value of listening. And recently I found some more advice about listening. So listen up. Husbands, if you want your wife to talk more, listen more. If you want her to talk less, listen better. That's not what you expected, but if we listen better, less talking is necessary. When we listen, we do well if we listen to understand. But we don't listen merely just to understand what is being said. We listen to live differently and to show empathy and love. So in the Bible, listening well and doing good are closely linked. I have to confess this morning I'm struggling with something. This is the first time I've preached here with hearing aids. Okay? And so my ears are have three purposes today. One is to hold my glasses up so I can see you. Secondly, to hold my hearing aids in place. And then thirdly, to hold this contraption in place so that you can hopefully hear me. Right? So notice I said they're hearing aids, not listening aids. Interesting. There's a difference there, right? And so the mic is supposed to be a hearing aid and hopefully a listening aid for you. And so hopefully all three will work together so that we can make it through the service today and that you will somehow be blessed. But they're not listening aids. They're advertised as hearing aids. Listening takes a lot of intentionality. And so I'm asking you as well this morning not only to hear me but actually be intentional in listening. And I know that God will speak to you through his word. So we're now in the second sermon from this letter of James. Pastor Scott began the series last week, And if you missed it, we'll just review a few things to bring us up to speed. Last week, we talked about the trials that test our faith. And James talks that, or teaches that trials produce endurance and spiritual growth. The long-term result of trials is to receive life as a crown. As we also discussed temptation, we reminded ourselves that it doesn't come from God. Also, we need to guard against temptation, or we will fall into sin. Sin, the power that is at work in the world around us, crouches at our door, and it seeks to cause us to sin and even die. Above all else, we need God's power to overcome temptation. Also, the encouragement and support of fellow believers is very important as well. Basically, sinning happens when sin knocks at the door and we choose to sin. Or temptation comes, and rather than choosing against it, we cave into it. And so today's passage, James will teach us how we can have an authentic faith in spite of these trials and temptations that come to us. He shows us that an authentic faith is an active faith. Yes, that is, an authentic faith both listens to God's word and does God's word. So James teaches us that a worthwhile faith is more than just good beliefs. He shows us that authentic faith is expressed in actions. What we believe should be expressed in our lives. Also, what we believe should shape and direct our actions and our walk. And in this way, right beliefs lead to a righteous life. A righteous life is based on an authentic faith. An authentic faith results in this pure and faultless religion that he's explaining in this passage. So true listening leads to real action. So let's listen. Let's listen to God's word again as we look at verses 19 and 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, okay, notice, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because anger, human anger, does not produce the righteousness that God desires. James views his readers as family. Notice he says brothers and sisters. You can add it up later this afternoon, but I think there's 12 times that he says this in this short book. And so he is teaching them, and his teaching rests on that relationship that he has with them. Verse 19 is perhaps the best advice for human relationships. Everyone should be, first of all, quick to listen. Usually we're slow at that. Sometimes we're too late in our listening. Sometimes we're in no rush to listen at all. And we miss a lot because we don't listen well enough. In fact, we often offend the other person when we don't listen. Yeah, and they have to repeat and repeat. And we cause all kinds of problems because we don't listen well. However, if we are quick and eager to listen, we gain understanding. Yes, and intimacy and growth also come about. So, secondly, we're to be slow to speak. If we are quick to speak, we cannot hear well. And many wrongs will occur. But if we are slow to speak, we can hear and also end up doing the right things. Some of us are better at listening and better at speaking at the right speed and the right amount. And so you need to help the rest of us. So if God has gifted you in that way, humbly help the rest of us. Because all of us need to learn these things together. And then thirdly, he says, be slow to become angry. What happens when we get angry? I think all of us know. Disharmony happens. Harm also comes about. How often does it end well when we get angry? Hardly ever. Ever. And if we are quick to anger, we will do unjust, even unrighteous things in the end. We will damage our relationships, even the dearest of them. But if we are slow to anger, we will bring about the righteousness of God. Notice the focus on the tongue. James is very concerned about this, about our speech. And it comes up again in this passage and in passages we will look at in the future. Being quick to listen and slow to speak will result in a righteous life for ourselves. If we live that way, just imagine all of the rightly ordered relationships that we would enjoy in our faith community, or in our homes, or even with our neighbors on our street. Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, "Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues." Yes, our tongues are so important. Verse 20 says, "Our anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." In fact, when we become angry, unrighteousness increases. Relationships are broken. Trust decreases. Pain increases. And moral failings erupt. All kinds of evil increases. We have all experienced the result of such things. When we experience quarreling, or favoritism, or arrogance, or judgment, all kinds of things happen. We are easily led to act in these ways when we haven't listened well and we become angry. But our God is so different. He doesn't sin. Even if he got angry at us, he wouldn't punish us out of anger, nor to appease his anger. Why is that? Because God's anger is so different. It's because he is so different from us. Yes, he is totally other. He is holy and just and pure. The word holy really means to be totally other, separate, different from us. And that is who he is. And so he wants to keep us from all of these bad things, separate ourselves unto him so that we can walk with him in righteous ways. He wants to deliver us from all evil. Yes, his anger toward us is more remedial than it is punitive. So what should we do? Look at verse 21. "Therefore, rid yourself of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." What does that mean? We should separate ourselves from sin and evil. But why? So that we may be saved from it, and that we might be able to live the righteous life that God desires. And so things like favoritism, quarreling, hoarding riches for our own security, mistreating employees, all kinds of things are sins that we experience in relationships. Instead, we are to be influenced and guided by God's kingdom values and his convictions. How? The key is to humbly accept the word of God. That is, listen to it. Not only hear it, but listen. Many people no longer accept God's word as being true. Right? You meet those people in your daily life. And even some Christians resist submitting to its authority. So to accept God's word as greater than ours, or greater than the words of other people around us, we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves and continue to refuse to live like the world around us. If we refuse to live according to God's word, it will condemn us, yes, unto death, for it is the truth. And that is why we really need to listen to God's word well. And so verse 21, as you can see, teaches us a two-step process. First, we rid ourselves of sin, like we said, and then secondly, we humbly accept God's word. That is, we submit ourselves to his authority. That's the key to authentic faith and true religion. When do you receive? When do you accept God's word freely? Does that happen daily in your life? Or weekly? Or bimonthly? Or a couple times a year? Like, when is it? That leads us now to verses 22 to 25. Where we are told to practice or do the word. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but actually doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Notice the warning in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So this is going beyond just hearing. It's actually already listening, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But if we only listen and understand but don't change our lives, we're deceiving ourselves. Let's think a little bit about what it means to deceive ourselves. What does that involve? It's really an intentional self-deception. And self-deception happens when we deliberately deny reality. Like if I told you, I'm not getting old, okay? I'm denying reality. I can't run like I used to. I can't do weights like I used to. But I'm telling you, I'm not getting old. So self-deception is the intention to believe something that is actually false. I'm still young. I'm only 45, right? Why do we deceive ourselves? Because we want to avoid the truth about ourselves. Yeah. We want to avoid anxiety and shame that come with that. By distorting the truth, we think that we make it more acceptable to ourselves. But this is dangerous as well as a great evil. It is the opposite of humility and grace. And it doesn't make truth any more acceptable. What is the answer to the problem of self-deception? It is to listen to God's word and accept it as truth. Let's think a little bit about Eve back in the garden. What did she do? She set aside God's word. Like, she knew what God had said, right? But she disregarded it. She set it aside. She didn't really listen to it. And then she didn't humbly accept it. And so in the end, she was deceived. And I think all of you know that there is a form of Christianity out there that says the Bible is out of date and that says that it needs to be reimagined. So people set aside or distort what God has clearly said in his word, and they go with what they want the Bible to say. So if we are into self-deception, we often deceive ourselves by hearing the word of truth and thinking we don't need it at all. And we don't need to do it. That's like thinking that we don't really look as we do when we look in the mirror. Because the mirror doesn't lie. We lie to ourselves. This intentional self-deception is destructive to both the human spirit and all of our relationships. But according to verse 25, the person who listens and does the word of God will be blessed, not just blessings on them, but blessed in what they do. Notice the action is involved, not just in who they are, but in what they do. This is a picture of authenticity. But the opposite is when we deceive ourselves. And so self-deception is a virtual denial of reality. Like believing we are good enough to earn salvation might be another example. Or telling oneself that everything is the other person's fault and we are all pure. How about you? Do you sometimes check your watch or your phone to check the time, but have to look at it again a minute later because you forgot what time it was? Sometimes we look, but we don't see, right? Other times we hear, but we don't really listen. And James is warning against that kind of thing. He is also teaching us the right way, the righteous way in which we should walk. He says, those who receive the word are doers of the word. So he holds them together, receiving and doing. They should be a pair. They hear it, they receive it, and actually act on it. They act it out in their lives. How about us? How do we respond to God's word during our devotions? Or when we hear God speak to us, like here on a Sunday morning? How eager are we to go to 642 or to attend a Bible study? We often think God's word is for others. Oh, this is a good word for Mr. So-and-so. This is especially a temptation for pastors and teachers, I will admit. But there are other expressions, other responses too. Like, I don't have to do that. That's only for pastors or only for missionaries or only for great Christians, and that's not who I am. Or, the Bible doesn't really mean that. It's just an expression. Or, my experience is valid too, and much more recent than the Bible, etc. Rather, we should look intently into God's word and receive it. We should be saying something like this: Lord, I receive this from you. Or, Lord, help me live this out. I can't do it alone. Or, Lord Jesus, please do this through me. We need to do what God says. It must become a way of life. Please remember this. Looking intently into God's word is the solution to correcting self-deception. Don't forget it. Hear it and do it. Allow it to transform us. This is the answer to spiritual health and vitality. It is the key to living a righteous life that God desires for all of us. Now this brings us to verse 25. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. It is clear that those who hear and don't forget God's word, but actually do it, will be blessed in their actions, in their life, in what they're doing. Isn't that what we want? Next, James shows us what a faith that works is like. He explains worthwhile religion or valuable religion in verses 26 and 27. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. These verses remind us of Micah 6, verse 8, that we are to act justly, and that we're to love mercy, and that we're to walk humbly with our God. So what is worthless religion? It's a lot of talk. It's a lot of talking, but not much walking, not much doing. Talking too much causes many problems in the community of faith. Worthless religion is uncontrolled, undisciplined speech and no actions. This is hypocrisy, not righteousness. So self-righteousness and self-deception, I think you understand, are terminal diseases. Only God's righteousness and only God's truth as revealed in God's word can cure us of those illnesses. So we need to hear God's word and live it out in our lives. And that includes intently looking into God's word. Now, according to James, an appropriate religious lifestyle is in these verses. It comes in hearing and listening and then doing the word. Living according to it in our practical service to God and to people. No more deception. Just authentic living. Not just talking, but active doing. James says that an active religion means a righteous life. He tells us that pure and faultless religion is acceptable to God. It is made up of an active faith and a righteous life. And so he illustrates this in verse 27, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So there's three things here that grow out of our faith. First of all, this practical service, helping people by serving them. And in this case, he's pointing out especially widows and orphans. Secondly, I see genuine love here. You may not see it initially, but he says, look after orphans and widows in their distress. Don't just look out for them, but look out for them in their distress. That's where genuine love comes in, meeting people's real needs. And then, of course, the third part is spiritual purity and devotion to God by living in the world but not being part of the world. So let's wrap up with a few thoughts about daily discipleship. For those of you who like formulas, I have one for you. Listening to the word plus practicing the word equals worthwhile religion. That's what James is teaching here. That is pure and faultless religion. It fulfills the righteousness of God. It brings about a righteous life and righteous relationships, and eventually even a righteous community and righteous society. This is the righteous person. This is the wise person that we talked about last week. This is a faith that works. And so God desires to make us into such a community of faith. So how well are we listening to God's word? Are we looking into it intently? Are we putting it into action? James is talking about active faith, believing the right things and doing the right things. That is the faith that works. He wants to be sure we aren't deceived about God. God gives good gifts graciously. Yes, God gives good gifts graciously. He helps us live out this authentic life. We can't do it alone or in our own strength. He helps us even listen to his word. He softens our hearts so that we can receive it. And then he empowers us to live it out. When we do that, we are living the pure and faultless life that God desires us to live. That's a faith that works for us and for God. Several years ago, I lost my appetite for about 2 weeks. I was on a ministry trip to Kenya. And I remember this one day in particular. I ate only one egg for breakfast, and then no lunch, and no supper. But it seemed not to be a problem. I just wasn't hungry, even though I had only had one egg for the day. My body was deceiving me. It was telling me that everything was okay when it wasn't. So what did I do? I forced myself to eat. And maybe we need to try this in our listening and in our doing of God's word. Yes, we need the power of the Spirit and the encouragement of fellow believers, but sometimes we need to push ourselves and just force ourselves to look intently into God's word and allow it to speak to us. So how intently are we looking into his word? How well are we listening? Because God does speak. We might not be even hearing, let alone listening. How much are we doing? God wants to work in and through us. So please remember, an authentic faith that works produces righteous results. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through it. Thank you, by your Spirit, you are moving among us now. And we pray that we will listen well, that we will respond appropriately, and that you help us to live it out this day and this week as we follow Jesus in the power of the Spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.